Yo, what's up?
You're listening to the Keeping It Raw podcast. Keeping it real, keeping it raw on iTunes and Spotify.
The podcast you're about to hear was recorded about a week ago. There's a snippet at the end where I let Levi in the studio by himself to record his version of a podcast. And I'm pretty excited about it. The intro that you're about to hear is going to be the last time you hear this specific intro. Now, we're constantly making changes, and I just want to be upfront about that. If you have any suggestions for changes you'd like to see in the podcast, or hear rather, just reach out to me. The best way is really Instagram at Keeping It Raw, or on Twitter at Keeping It Raw. Thanks. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm just nervous.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. You are listening to Keeping It Raw. I am Raw. And today I wanted to talk about my days as a firefighter, okay? I wanted to start off, though, with my most embarrassing story, okay? When somebody asks, you know, just like a getting to know you kind of question, they ask you, what's your most embarrassing story? What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you? And I have a go-to, but today I'm going to reveal my real most embarrassing story. My go-to embarrassing story is simple. I was in high school one day, and I decided I was hungry, so I went to breakfast. And I spilled orange juice, and it fell all over my lap area. Because orange juice fell on my lap area, it looked wet, and I didn't want anybody to think that I peed my pants, so I just sat there for 30 minutes and was late to class until it dried up, honestly. And that's an embarrassing story. It really is, and that's the one that I use all the time. Now I'm about to tell you my most embarrassing story. I'm about to reveal this, and I honestly have been really kind of skeptical. That's why it's taken me this long to actually reveal it, because okay, so here's my most embarrassing story. I was a firefighter for a couple years. Most of you know that. Now, when I was a firefighter, though, we naturally had to do training. And I'll get into a lot of the cool stuff that I did after the embarrassing story. But part of the training, though, was we got to go inside houses. They would light up houses, and then we would go inside and put the fire out. Really cool. You're typically part of a three-man team. You had the nozzle man, you had the backup to the nozzle man, and then you had the slack man that would, you know, push the fire hose around the corners, make sure it didn't get caught. Okay. We had done this, you know, three or four times. It was second nature. It was really fun and really cool. But also, when you've done it a couple times, it kind of naturally becomes easier. So, we know that we're going to be doing this on Saturday. And so Friday night, we decide that we're going to hang out. We go to the fire station, hang out that night. And that includes games, watching shows, maybe going out on a couple calls. But it was pretty easy night. And it wasn't difficult, because when you're hanging out with friends and you've actually got stuff to do, you know, then. So we stayed up all night. And then in the morning, around 8 o'clock is when we had to meet out there to the house that we're going to be using as for fire training. Now, it wasn't until the heat, until it got hot, until I felt the heat, that it hit all of us like a brick wall. We got tired instantly, and it was weird. It was unnatural how tired we got. And so, because we're getting tired, they're lighting the stuff up. We're the first team up. And I'm like, well, fine. We could be the first team up, because I'm so tired. After this, I got to go. Like, I should have just stayed home. Should not have come to this. But we determined, basically, my three-man team, that I was the most capable. So out of our tired state. So Josh, he had done a couple of, calls where he had driven that night. So anyway, so I was like, I'll just be the nozzle man. And Josh was going to be my backup. And then, I think his name was Andy. I always forget his name because it was interchangeable with somebody else. So he was the nozzle guy. Anyway, so we go in and it's cloudy in there. It's unnaturally cloudy because of the smoke. They use pine straw, and so pine straw is really smoky. So we can't see a whole lot at all. So I'm about 5 feet in. I'm tired, can hardly see. And 5 feet in, I trip and fall. And when I fall, Josh behind me falls. And then Andy in the back, he falls. Because when we fall, we jerk the hose up, naturally. And the slack man, who's about 10 feet behind us, it hits him and he's not ready for it. So he, you know, just falls. Of course, I didn't know that until after. Anyway, the problem is what they didn't tell us was that this time they're going to have firefighter bodies on the ground in the house. And the bodies were spread out to simulate, you know, victims of, you know, a fire. Okay. But they didn't want to tell us that because they really just generally wanted us to be like aware of just anything that could happen. So because I'm tired and this caught me off guard, obviously I trip. So when I trip and everybody falls, when I hit the ground, I'm on the nozzle and I accidentally open the nozzle as I'm falling. Okay. Open the nozzle to what was in front of me, I found out was another firefighter about 2 feet away from me. When I opened that nozzle and hit it on him, not knowing what I was doing, it hit him so hard that he slid across the linoleum floor in that house and straight through a double glass door. And I heard it, but I didn't see it until when all the smoke got out. It was very clear what had happened. And I woke up instantly. We all woke up. And I was like so confused. I was upset, and it was just embarrassing because I went into panic mode and I blamed it on the captain. It was fine. It ended up being fine, but it was bad that day because I was like, why would you do that? Why would you put us at risk like that? Like, I could have fallen and broken my arm, or, you know, I could have hurt them or all this stuff, right? So that's an embarrassing story. It was unbelievable. And I don't know if – I don't recall that ever happening again. It was cool stuff. But when I opened that nozzle and the guy flew, I wish I was conscious enough to realize what was happening to see that, because that would have been so cool. He just flew across because the water from the water fire hose and the fact that it was linoleum flooring helped him just – slide and bust through that. I think his air tank is what actually made it easy to bust through that window or that glass door, but that would have been a cool thing to see. We had done that plenty of times, and I had this problem whenever I was on the nozzle that adrenaline was super, even in training, my adrenaline was sky high. So I would go into a room and like Josh would be behind me as my backup. Whenever that would happen and I'd go into a room to put it out, you know, I was going to stay there until it was all out. I mean, it would be a little fire typically, maybe the size of a sofa or something. Sometimes they lit sofas on fire in houses, as part of the training. So I would catch it on fire. It wouldn't be a big area, but, Josh would have to tap me and pull me back, and I would be like, and we would get out. And I remember the first time it happened, we got out. I was like, what happened? Was I messing up or something? What was going on? He said, no, like, you didn't feel how hot that was? And I was like, it wasn't hot. Like, we have all this gear on. You were hot? And anyway, he was hot. He just didn't realize that I guess my adrenaline was up. Maybe that's why I never felt it. Because even after he said that, I was like, I don't feel hot at all. Like, what are you talking about? Big old flames in front of me. Oh, man. But it was great. I had I kind of mentioned that in one of the other podcasts. I had gone through like the certifications and everything that North Carolina requires, except that I didn't have two. One was hazmat, and the other one was like ropes. I think it was ropes or ladders, one of those. We got to do some cool things. Like the thing that I excelled at the best was driving the fire truck. And I always felt like, yeah, if people know this, then they're just going to want me to drive and that's it. Because I didn't want to drive, because if I was a driver, then I would have to like just control the water pressure, the hoses and stuff, and hook up things. It wasn't a fun, I don't know, driving a fire truck with the sirens and everything, cool thing. The air horn, like the sirens, it was awesome. Being a pit crew, or being a pit crew, a crew chief, being a crew chief was really cool, because you would have to help out the driver. You would have to, back then we didn't have the, you know, like GPS stuff. So we had this big old binder that had every road on it and how to get to that road from the fire station. So like if you're a crew chief and you got in the truck, you would break out the binder, and alphabetic order was the streets. So whatever street they said, like if they said Pine Tree Street, okay? You'd have to go to the P's, find Pine Tree Street, and it would tell you, leave the fire station and turn right. Turn left on, you know, Blaylock Street. Turn right on McPherson. Turn left on Wachovia. I don't know. It's just, it was a really cool, I guess that wasn't a cool thing, but it was like really organized. It's interesting because a lot of people don't know this kind of stuff. So because I excelled at driving, like when we went to the airport to do the driving test, that was like the first thing we had done in all this training. So I got in the driver's seat and I drove it like a pro, like they were impressed. And I was like, really? I'm doing that good? Okay. Like parallel park, got it the first time. I can't even parallel park a regular car. I can't even parallel park a vehicle with a backup camera, but doing it on the first time with a fire truck, oh, that was beast. So I did that. And then, that was pretty much the best thing I was at, the thing I was the best at. Sorry about that. And then, I remember though, one time, because I had to drive all the time, one of the things I did was we were leaving McDonald's once and where it was on Ray Road in Spring Lake, the way it used to be was it had this weird curb, and I remember bumping one of the curbs with the back tire, the back passenger tire of one of them, and didn't think anything of it. And when we got to the fire station, my captain got out. He was running crew chief. He got out and checked it. And I wasn't even thinking to go check that thing, but he did that. That's all that was on his mind. And so he went out and checked it, and there was this huge gash in the tire, and they had to replace it. It was like $400 for that tire, $400-something. I was like, what? Yeah, that was bad. But I got to meet some cool people. And firefighting is really fun. It's just a fun thing to do. And if they paid more, a lot more people would do it, honestly. Not that people do it for the money. It's just, whatever. I also wanted to, I was thinking about, you know, talking about this most embarrassing thing. And I was also thinking about, like, the worst gift I'd ever gotten. Just, like, worse, right? Man, I was debating whether to share this. The worst gift I had ever gotten was a gag gift, and it was simply a dog breeding kit. So, like, you had to make a gag gift is like where you just typically you just buy like a corny gift or something, right? So this person had gotten creative at work, and so for my gift, he had gotten me a dog breeding kit. It was basically a cardboard box about the size of a shoebox. And when I opened it, it was simply dog treats and a blindfold. And then an instruction manual. And the instruction manual said something like, put dogs together, give them treats, and put a blindfold on yourself. And don't look or something like that. Don't look at whatever's going to happen next. I was like, what? It was so creative. Oh, man, that was great. I wish that was my gift. Like, I mean, it was my gift, but I'm just saying, like, I wish I thought about that. I might get that for somebody someday. Dog breeding kit. Oh, man. We had a little while ago, Levi had found some like big scotch tape. It was like, you can probably hear it right here. He had found this scotch tape, and it was this, it's like the Packer kind. Not Todd Packer. he took off a piece. He had been using the piece a while because, you know, so that it's the cheap kind, so it doesn't stick very long. And so if you put on something and you take it off, it's probably not going to stick to anything else. So he gets it and gives it to me, and he's like, all right. He covers my eyes up. He's like, all right, this is your blindfold. And I'm like, going to play along, right? Blindfold? This is clear tape. Okay. So I'm like, all right, just play along. He's like, all right, you can't see me. He put it on. You can't see me. I'm like, I know, I can't see you. Where are you? I'm blind. So he's like trying to do stuff. But I think he forgets that it's a joke. And so he starts actually going to get ice cream. And so I'm watching him like, what is, did he just forget I was, because he's like totally like lost focus. He just forget. So he walks away, go get some ice cream, grabs the scissors to cut off the top of the popsicle, and then leaves the top of the thing. He has a habit of doing this. He'll leave the top on the counter or something instead of throwing it away. So on a popsicle, I mean, it's an icicle. I don't know, popsicle, icicle, whatever the case is. It's the tube with just ice cream in it, no stick, nothing like that is necessary. And so he cuts the top off and then leaves it on the counter. Well, the problem is that it's going to melt the ice cream that's at the top and stay in the counter. So I'm looking at him and I'm like, no, he just did it. He knows he's not supposed to be doing this. So then I snap out of it and I'm like, Levi, go get. And he jumped so hard because he had forgotten. I think he had forgotten either I was there or he had forgotten that I was blindfolded and actually could see. Oh, man. He jumps. I was busting out laughing. He thought he was blindfolded me and forgot that it was just a clear piece of tape. Way to go, buddy. Oh, man. So with that being said, that's the end of the most embarrassing stuff I had. But there is one other thing I wanted to share with you. It's Levi's podcast. So Levi has he's been on the podcast with me, but one day he wanted to do the podcast by himself. And I was like, okay, that'd be cool. You know, don't press any other buttons, you know, but that's fine. You just go and then, you know, that'd be cool. So I was listening to what he had to say. So after he was done, of course, I was listening to what he had to say, and I was like buzzing up laughing the whole time. And it might not be interesting to you, but it is to me. So I wanted to go ahead and just add this on to the back of this podcast, just piggyback, and let you guys listen to what Levi says when I'm not in the studio with him. Hold on just a second. Here we go. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Bye. Levi, take over.
What's up, guys? This is Levi. And you listen to Raw's podcast. So, I'm by myself. I'm Levi, though. And this is my dad's podcast. I went to California last year. So, okay. I'll be right back. And I'm back, guys. So, I just had to give my dad his earpods, so. Oh, yeah, let's get back to what I'm talking about. I went to California last year, but I was, like, about four, three, or five. I think I was five. Yeah, guys, I was five. So we're going to be talking about the Lion King movie. Because I watched it. And if Nana's watching this, I'm sorry. But we're going to be talking about the Lion King movie. Because I watched it. So the first part. The monkey raised up Simba. And then they were friends when they grew up. And then when they were really big, they were with the animals. God. Bro. And so. And that movie was great, the first one. But the second one, it was cool. Well, I like my dad's podcast. But that talks like for a whole day on it. I'm just nervous. And this podcast is so cool. Like, imagine if Nana was on here. Nana could be a part of my podcast. I would be in the podcast with Nana only. And my dad would be resting. So if you come here any day, Nana, you can be in the podcast with me. Only Nana. Yeah, and this is so fun. I was like at the store and somebody was gonna whipped like you can spank it. And this, that wasn't me, that was my neighbors beside my house on the right side. So yeah. This is all for Levi's podcast. And if you want to join Nana or anybody, come to Roll's house and do the podcast with us. Bye-bye.